Welcome to Vegas Ringside Rundown, the podcast that brings you the heart-pounding action and insightful discussions of youth hockey right from the heart of Las Vegas. Get ready to hit the ice.
With Jim and Ron. Hey, Jim, welcome back for, I guess, episode two for you.
Thanks for having me. Well, I'm good to see you again, buddy.
Hey, you know, I talked to some people that are listening to the podcast. They are super excited that you're on board.
And the girl feels special.
I know, right? And they're super excited that we're actually doing the podcast again and getting that going. We're super excited because we have this opportunity here because there's really nothing out there that can help parents listen to what's going on in youth hockey here in Las Vegas, and hopefully, you know, kind of point parents in the right direction on where they want to go with their kids or not, right? Because we do know that youth hockey is very expensive.
Expensive and time consuming.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, speaking of that, I do know our team, which is the 15 AAA for Vegas Junior Golden Knights, will be heading out of town next week.
Out to Minnesota, play some NAPHL, start the season off. That's our league out there, runs out of the central time zone and East Coast. So be a big test for the boys.
It will be. And unfortunately, those games, I usually do the broadcasting for that, which you can see those games on Scully 7, but those games you can't record out there. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that I can at least record the game, just not live.
Right.
And then post it after the fact.
We'll see. They're very stingy out there. I know you can pay $40 to watch all the games for the weekend, if not.
I know, right?
And also $70 entry fee for the weekend per family, which is a new one. They didn't have that last year.
Oh, really?
Yep. Just another little expense there. So they do say that the arena will be filled with scouts. This is why they charge for families to come in and watch the games. So
do they charge the scouts?
That's a good question. I would assume no.
Do they kick back the money? Here's $80 from the Wrights family. Here you go.
Well, hopefully, you know, the kids get seen by some good scouts out there, and it's all worthwhile. I mean, it is. We all know it's an expensive sport, and, you know, to pay to go watch your own kids play is something, but, you know, it's either that or you sit outside, I guess. So money it is.
And we, you know, we'll have to get some, you know, like I said, we'll get some people on because I would love to have that question as far as to, you know, number one, maybe we can get somebody on or have a discussion, maybe with one of the scouts out there, to be honest with you, we could.
Sure.
Because realistically, I mean, who's looking at 15 triple at this moment?
Well, that's the NAPHL is known as a feeder league to the NAHL. Junior league, so I suppose most of the scouts would probably be from those junior teams that are in the NAHL and probably some prep schools and things out there. When we were out there last year at the 14 AA level, they told us don't expect to see any scouts out there at that level, but when you get up to 15, 16 AAA level, they said there will be scouts there, and the scouts have their own rooms that overlook the rink that you're not allowed to go in, obviously. So hopefully, you know, some of the boys get noticed out there and move along to better things when they get older.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I get 16, maybe, you know, really 17, 18 year olds. Like I get all that. I mean, there's gotta be a point though, where you do need to start looking at those kids, but you know, as well as I do, all these kids are still growing.
Sure.
And you don't know what potential upside you have on some of these kids. Now there are some really good hockey kids out there that we've seen and played against, and, you know, like if you take some of the kids that are currently in the AHL that we know, because we know we're older dads, right?
Yep.
That we know their last name because their dads played in the AHL, right?
Yep.
So those kids generally follow some kind of path to get into the NHL or get noticed maybe a little bit more.
Sure.
Maybe. But realistically, the
I would think at 15, it's kind of getting a base level, like first look at the kids that are out there, like, okay, so let's just use Brandon. Okay, Brandon's fast. He seems to score a lot of goals, blah, blah, blah. Let's keep him on the radar so that next year at the 16 level, we already have, you know, his name is here. So let's see how he has grown and how he has developed. Because after the 16, that is pretty much when you're going to be moving along to prep school or junior hockey, senior in high school, freshman in college kind of thing. So, you know, maybe just a... maybe just a first look at these kids, like, you know, who have made the AAA teams and are out there competing against other AAA players from around the country.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's, so hopefully the boys, all the kids on all the teams know that, you know, this could be your very first shot, I guess, at having your name out there and having people looking at you and being on a list here and there, you know, for your future, future hockey career.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Dad.
Yeah.
Right? You're one of the puck dads.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell your kid that there's scouts out in the out there at all?
I've told my kid for years, you never know who's looking.
Okay.
Whether it's a stick and puck, a practice, a tournament, you never know who's out there checking it out. Every time you go on the ice, 110%, no days off.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your head, you know, stay poised, because honestly, you really don't know who's looking for you or at you while you're out there.
Yeah.
A lot of kids get seen because they're playing against or with a kid, a player, I should say, that maybe a scout's looking at. So there's like a top 20 kid who plays on, we'll just pick a, say, Little Caesars, and there's scouts out there looking at this kid at Little Caesars. Opportunity for you. Hey, who's this kid from the Knights? Like,
sure.
He's a good checker. He's a good scorer. Like, he's got a good attitude. Seems to hustle all the time. Never gives up. All of a sudden, you're on the radar. So you never really know. I do tell my kid every time you go on the ice, it's an opportunity. So
would you make a point, though, for like this tournament to say, hey, you know, I know you may say it in general, like, always best foot forward, right?
Absolutely.
Always have a great attitude. Mm-hmm. Always, you know, work hard. You know, don't disrespect coaches, don't disrespect refs, you know, all that stuff, right? But do you, knowing that there is a opportunity for somebody, I guess, looking at the kids, do you emphasize that at all a little bit more? I'll tell you where I'm at with it. I'm not going to say anything besides what we always say, you know, play hard, skate hard.
Right.
I think... I just don't want to mess with their head.
Well, so some of the with the kids who were on the VGK 14 AA team last year, they probably already know this because it was talked about, you know, as one of the coaches on the team last year. We did let them know this is where the scouts are, and even going through the rink, they could see the rooms that are labeled scouts only.
Got
so
it.
I'm pretty sure they already know, hey, maybe this is an opportunity to get myself seen.
Okay.
Like I said, it's teams from all over the country, and it is Tier 1 AAA. So I would think, I said, mine already knows because he's been there. I wouldn't say go play harder than you always play, because that's kind of sending a bad message, you know?
Yeah.
You need to do better in this tournament than you always do. You know what I mean?
I'm
under the impression or the attitude, like, every time you go on the ice, you better bust your butt and do as best you can. Like, if somebody's watching, great. If not, great. But this is also, you know, on that note, your coach is going to notice if you play the same all the time. If you decide, we're just playing a home and home with the Bobcats and it's the third game and, you know, I don't really feel that great today, so I'm just going to take my day off. And coach sees that. Like, you need to go at all times. So, you know, it's not just trying to impress scouts, it's trying to get your ice time with your coach, and you know, if somebody sees you, great. If not, but still, you need to work your way up lineups and make your way onto teams. Like, every time you go on the ice, you should be going 1,000%. So I don't think there's any, hey, play better this weekend because we're going to Napple, than it is, you know, we're playing in a tournament in North Dakota 2 weeks later that's not scout heavy.
Yeah,
so, you know, you can take that one off. I don't think there's anything like that going on.
Okay, well, I appreciate the conversation with it for sure, because, you know, as our kids are getting older now, parents, just remember, you know, when your kids are 8U, 10U, 12U, even some 14U, you know, they're, no one's really looking at your kid. No one should be, really.
No one is.
Number one. And number two, if they are, and we'll get into this after the scores, because we're going to talk about around the ice, which is basically the local scores on some of the teams here in just a minute.
Right.
You know, what could come from some of these summer events and what can come from, you know, say using an opportunity like CCM has a really good one in Colorado,
right,
where there are scouts there that are watching the kids.
Sure.
But, you know, what are some of the negative things that come away from it? But we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But right now we're going to talk about
scores.
Yeah. what did I say? Was it around the ice or on the ice? I don't know. We're coming up with a couple of names.
We're coming up
cool
with
names.
Ideas. Yeah.
Right.
What's been going around for the local teams playing last weekend.
Across the ice.
Across the ice. There it was. I blanked and you blanked and we looked at each other. If you could have saw us, you'd laugh.
Hell yeah.
Stared at each other for a second. They're a little blank error. Never hurt anybody, right?
Yeah, never did. So Jim's going to come in with across the ice. We're going to talk a little bit about some games that have played over the last weekend with high school and some travel.
A little bit of travel. There didn't seem to be too much action last weekend. I'm sure there's some teams out there that we're missing. We'd love to hear what you guys did out there. Parents, coaches, team managers, hit us up and we'll talk about your team for sure.
Great.
Yeah.
So. Where are they going to hit us up at there, Jim? Oh, that would be info@vegasrinkside.com. That's info@vegasrinkside.com.
I didn't want to mess it up, so I let Ron say it.
No, it's all good. Also, there's a couple places you can go on Facebook if you wanted to put a little shout out there. You can go to Vegas Ringside Rundown group page. We have a group page. You can also go. There's two.
Give us a like and a follow.
Yeah, give us a like and a follow. Instagram as well. Vegas Ringside Rundown has a Instagram account. Also, there are some general, I guess, pages or groups.
Hockey Parents of Las Vegas is one. A nice little site for you guys to, ask any questions or, you know, any comments or feelings about what's been going on. You'll see a lot of equipment sales on there, too.
Yeah.
Looking for teams to enter tournaments. It's a nice little Facebook page to help you get going on some of that stuff.
And another one, if you're living out in Henderson, it's called Henderson Nevada Hockey and Ice Skating. Parents, mm-hmm. players, coaches. If you can't remember to get to Vegas Ringside Rundown, put your questions there. Number one, people will answer those questions as best they can.
Right.
But we'll try to field those questions from those group pages and bring them right into our podcast.
Absolutely.
All right, across the ice, buddy.
All right, here we go. So most of the action we have listings for was the Anaheim Ducks High School Hockey League.
Okay.
So you have Faith Lutheran sent their teams out there as well as Bishop Gorman's. This is league action. First action for all the Vegas teams out there. We'll just go right into the JV level. So Faith Lutheran, nice weekend, 3-0. Got themselves a 4-3 win against San Diego United, a 7-3 win against Yorba Linda, and a 3-1 win against Santa Margarita. So can't really start much better than that, 3-0. Little shout out to one of my former players, Tyler Miracle, took a year off of hockey last year from injuries and to concentrate on golf. Came back in. Nice to see you playing again, Tyler. Good job this weekend.
Oh, really?
Keep it up.
You shot under par? Is that what he did there?
This kid shoots under par all the time. One of the best golfers you'll see. It's
really
crazy. But nice to have him back playing hockey. Got over his injuries and good job by the Faith team. Like I said, can't start off better than 3-0. So
yeah, well, while you say that, there are some kids that Elizabeth Smith actually had 4 points in that.
Nice.
And then Amara Tarr got 3 points. Tyler
and Tom Delaney at 3 points as well. So
a lot of scoring. Luke Bogoyan's on that team. Yeah. Kyle Fritchie had a couple had a point there. So good job.
Good job, boys.
Yeah, and if there's anything specific or you have any videos, just send it our way. We'll get it up on our website too. We have a website also called VegasRinkside.com. You can
check
just go to that.
Yeah, you check that out.
Can listen to our podcast. We're also working on getting a writer to come on board.
Got bring a in writer their side. Coming on board to give us the lowdown on UNLV. We're going to get that rolling soon. Check that website out. We're going to have a lot of stuff coming at you, so we'll keep you updated on everything that's going on.
Chase Spencer's on that team, too.
Spencer, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So good job by those boys going 3-0.
All right.
And then also in the JV division, Bishop Gorman, 1-2. Not terrible. 3-0 loss to Servite. A 7-0 loss to Corona Narco. Unfortunate on that game, but then comes back with a big 6-1 win against Damien. So, you know, not the start that they wanted, but not out of it by any means. It's early in the season, so 1-2 is not going to hurt you. I'm sure they'll come together and pick it up with that team.
And to be honest with you, 3-0, I was talking to one of the dads on that team, and he felt that they had a good chance. I remember this is their first real game.
Yeah, first games for these teams.
They had a really good chance of actually potentially putting some goals on that first game and maybe even tying and winning that game. Even though they didn't get one across, it was a really action-packed and a good opportunity for them to potentially score. But
they got goalied.
They got goalied.
Lots of opportunities, but sometimes you run into that hot goalie, and, you know, what are you going to do?
So. Yeah, it looks like Benjamin Tomeo had 2 points. Graham Murray had 2 points. Ryland Carlson had 2 points. A few other kids had some 1 points out there, but it's good to see it's good to see the kids out there just trying to score, get on the board.
Absolutely. It's nice to for these kids to go on the website and check out their names on there, too. Everybody likes seeing their names, right?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Oh, absolutely.
And so after JV is where we're going next.
We're going to the top. We're going to the Varsity D1, which is the top-level league out there in California. So Bishop Gorman has a D1 team. They did make it to the finals of the Labor Day 18 AA tournament we spoke about last week. This week out there, starting off 1-2, another 1-2 weekend. First game looks like they lost to Central Cathedral 4-1. Got a 6-1 win, big win against Damien, and then a tough 4-3 loss against Santa Margarita. So 1-2 to start that off there. Like I said, that is that's probably the top level high school team coming out of Vegas, but you're playing against the top level high school teams in California. So 1-2, not terrible for sure.
Okay, and looks like top point getters on that team.
Oh, Anze, okay. We know Anze. Yep.
Gudino and Anze Rowe. Gudino.
Yep.
And is it
Caden Mulkey?
Okay, had 2 points.
Don't want to mess that one up.
Caden well, we're going to mess it up there. Anyway, yeah, so our apologies. Yeah. Ross got 2 points. Israel got 2 points. Miller got 2 points. A lot of kids with multi-pulling points in that tournament.
Sure.
In those three games, so it's great to see. And who's there? Okay. So I don't know any of the,
Varkas. Varkas was the 16 AA goalie for VGK last year. He's been a VGK top level goalie all the way through, his career playing top level. So looks like he, did he get the win there?
Which one?
Varkas.
Oh, Varkas. Yep. Oh, yeah. He did.
Okay. And I do not know La Casca.
I don't either, yeah. But yeah, it looks like Varkas did get the one win, gave up one goal. That oh, was nice. That was go, the one win that they had.
Looks good like, kid, good parents. Like Varkas is a good guy. Glad to see him get the win there.
Yeah. So again, if you want a little shout out for your team, let us know what they did over the weekend. If they're playing in tournaments or travel or scrimmages, let us know so yeah, we can definitely report on it on Across the Ice.
100%.
All right, we're going to, I'm sure, D2 now.
D2 is next, so we'll go with Faith first. Faith Lutheran goes 2-1 on the weekend. 4-3 win against Santa Margarita. Looks like a lot of action against Santa Margarita there. Almost every team's playing them. Got the 4-3 win there. 5-3 loss to Fairmont Blue, and I do know there's two Fairmont teams, a blue and a white. So, two-goal loss on that one, and then an 8-0 beatdown of Central Cathedral. So, good job on the boys on the 8-0 game there. That's a good way to pad the stats up. Who's leading the team over here?
Okay. So, Faith Lutheran, we didn't talk about position, but right now it's early on in the season, but they are in fourth place, D2 is. And for their leading for points right now is Chen with 5 points.
5 points in three games.
Good week. Nice. He had a good weekend,
yeah.
Huh?
And yeah, Williams Robertson with 4, another really good weekend there.
And McCauley with 3, Rodriguez with 2, Zucker with 2. Lenz, we know him very well.
Lenzy, Tyler Pettinger, Victor Caspery, a double roster player, which is something that a few kids are taking advantage of this year. They were offered the opportunity as junior knights to double roster on with some Faith teams.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody other than Victor has taken the opportunity on that.
He's the only one I know of. Yep.
So good job, Victor, going out to California and hopefully you saved a few goals for the VGK AAA team there, but good job out there, kid.
Absolutely.
A lot of guys we know on that team. So nice little weekend, 2-1. Not a bad start.
No, it's in fourth place overall for the standing, so not bad. And then Gorman has a team.
Yep, Gorman has a team as well. Moving on to the varsity D2 Gorman team. Tough weekend. Did not seem to go the way they wanted to. 6-1 loss to Fairmont White. 4-1 loss to Edison. 7-1 loss to Corona Norco.
Okay.
Like I said, tough weekend. Lots of time to get it back together. So I'm sure they'll pull that team together and have a better showing next time they go out there.
Yeah, 0-3 for the weekend. Central Cathedral. They didn't play Central Cathedral, did they?
They did not, no.
Okay. So, yeah.
Central Cathedral played Faith, and that was the 8-0 win for Faith.
Okay, so Faith and Bishop were the only two teams out there that played three games this weekend. Most of them played one or two out there.
Right.
And rightfully so, because they're going to probably play a lot more games. I don't know how many, you know, Vegas teams need to do or complete, you know, in that high school league. Obviously, they're going to play every weekend, the California teams.
Right.
So that you'll see their standings kind of float.
Yeah, most of the California teams had already played games coming into last weekend when you know, our two high school organizations made their way out there to get their first games in. So they're playing against teams that had already played some games, and you know, it's every couple of weeks or 3 weeks or so that they're traveling out to California to play against those teams. But like you said, those California teams could play on a Tuesday night if they wanted to. So obviously going to have more games in early than the Vegas teams.
Absolutely. Just a quick shout out to, I think it's Zupanchik and Shiburda and Verboot and Chuchich.
Couchet.
Thank you.
Good job, see, X.
Xavier Couchet. See, there you go. That's why I need you, bud.
A lot of players that I have coached in the past that my son has played with in the past. Nice to see them having good weekends out there in California. So
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on.
Yep.
The last of the high school teams going out there is Division III Faith Lutheran. 1-2 weekend, not bad. A little bit of back and forth. 5-1 loss to Yorba Linda. Seems to be a good little high school organization, Yorba Linda. A lot of wins out there. 2-1 win against Damien, and then a tough 5-4 loss versus Saddleback United.
Okay, and they're in third. I think they're in third place in this early season. But you got points from Rauch, Monroe, Field, Barson.
Litchkinger.
Yeah, Perry, Futrell, Gratini, Carey, Stubblefield got a point on the board, Loki, Reyes.
Yeah, it looks like everybody got at least a point or two on here. So for most of the players on the team, once again, a lot of players that we know that our sons have played with in the past. Nice to see them continuing on with their career and putting up points out in California there.
All right. Any other teams play this past week?
Well, we're done with the high school. So all we have that we have listed, and I'm sure there's other teams that played out there, hit us up so we can talk about your team as well.
Sure.
But for the information that we have, the 13U AAA Junior Golden Knights, 2-1 weekend at home versus the Sun Devils out of Arizona. I did get a chance to see two of those three games. Very competitive. Sun Devils had one or two players that were very top-notch on there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So, real nice job. One kid was like 6-foot-tall defenseman. Just a monster.
Really?
So, he's a 13-year-old. So I was like, whoa. And he could skate, too. I was like, okay. Sun Devils got one there. But, you know, 2-1, not a terrible weekend by any means. All games were within a goal. So, great job by Coach Dustin and Coach Pete. I did coach with Coach Dustin last year and Coach Pete at the 14AA level. He's very system specific, very good coach. I'm sure these kids early in the year are learning the system that he likes to play.
Yeah.
And that'll, I know they're out in Denver this weekend along with the 16AA Gorman team. So I know they'll, hopefully they do very well out there in Denver and, you know, keep working that system, boys, and listen to the coach. He knows what he's talking about.
Yes, he does. He
sure does.
And then who else played? Anybody else?
That's it we have for last weekend. There's going to be a lot more scores and action coming from this weekend coming up. I know, like I said, 16AA Gormans out in Colorado with the 13AAA VGKs.
Okay.
14U VGK is out in Detroit right now. I believe they have a game tonight. We're recording on Thursday. So we'll get the results out of Coach Wally and Coach Jazz. A nice opportunity for Coach Jazz out there in Detroit to see his son Vinny, who plays for CompuWare out there.
Oh, okay.
Get cool. to see him play this weekend too. So a little double dipping for Coach out there. So hopefully all the boys have a good weekend, and you know, we'll be back next week with all the wrap ups on all the games. So
awesome. That's super excited.
Make sure you tune in.
Yeah, tune in because, you know, we'll have another segment called Across the Ice.
Across the Ice.
Kind of just talking a little bit about, you know, what happened over the weekend, what's going to happen moving forward. No, that's great information, Jim. Appreciate you bringing that that vast knowledge of finding it on the internet and bringing it into the podcast.
Absolutely. Everybody. And if you guys want to check out the website for the California, I believe, Anaheim Ducks High School Hockey League, you'll see the Bishop and Faith, all the standings, all the player stats, which is really cool. You don't really get that a lot of the places. So, you know, if Ron's got that website.
I do. So it's going to be ADHSHL.com.
That's a lot of letters.
And, you know, well, you know, we could put that link actually in VegasRinkside.com. So if you go to VegasRinkside.com, you should be able to see that link there, too, if you're, you know, forget where.
I did see on that website as well, if you are inclined to check that out, they do have a link where they broadcast live games. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Good. So, unfortunately, Ron and Nate can't be in California to get all your games on Scully 7 on Twitch TV, but you can still watch those California games right off that website there. So, if you're interested in seeing how the boys are doing out there or just checking out some high school hockey, if you're interested in your son, maybe son or daughter that might want to play some high school hockey, it's a nice way to check out what's going on out there and see the competition and see how it works out there. So,
You know, what's interesting is, I know since Gorman's going to be out in Colorado, I believe Larison Sports Broadcast will probably be out there. She has two sons, obviously. Well, it depends on where she's going, right?
I don't know if she went to Detroit or Colorado this weekend. So.
Did she go to Detroit or did she go to Colorado?
I didn't know. I probably should have asked Summer where she was going beforehand.
I have a feeling she probably went to Detroit only because she's the team manager.
Ah, could be. Well, like I said, you never know.
And if that's the case, you'll catch out Larison Sports Broadcasting on YouTube, and you'll be watching, hopefully you'll be watching the Detroit games for the 14 AA team.
But if not, you'll be watching the 16 AA Gorman team out there. So one way or the other, you're going to see there's a couple good teams. So check out Larison Sports Broadcasting on YouTube, and you'll see one of those two teams playing this weekend.
Yeah.
Not sure which, but one of them will be out there. So.
All right. So this is something I definitely wanted to bring up, you know, over the summer. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, scouts and, you know, people want, you know, interested in your player or your kid or you know, are they really interested? Do they mean what they say? You know, how do you know? I'm going to go off of experience. So there are specific, like over the summer, Jim, there are specific places, like you can go to Globals.
Right.
You can go to CCM. There's places you can send your kid to. I kind of prefer just sending the kid here in Vegas. I mean, but you can go outside of Vegas. Like CCM had one in Colorado.
Right.
And then I know they have Globals that are here. They also have Globals Travels too. But realistically, they had one here. I think it's a great experience for the kids. I think it's an opportunity because there are true scouts, I believe, at these places.
I believe so.
And
we did pick up a few players for our team off the CCM Denver, I believe, is where Coach Ian, the assistant coach for the 15 AAA team, found a few players to come play for the Junior Knights as billets. So, you know, somebody's out there looking for sure. So.
Of course. And then but there are going to be people out there that are nefarious.
Of course.
Very, very nefarious. So just be mindful if somebody is super anxious to get your kid on their summer team, like 6 months before summer starts, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months, whatever it is, start asking the questions.
Yes.
What organization do you play out of?
Right.
Who can I call to validate your information? Now, I tried calling. I actually went online. So this was American Academy, Sniper Academy, I think it was. And there was a website kind of said American Sniper Academy, but not in the exact, like, how this person said.
Gotcha.
And this person, I'm going to give you the name. The name is Mitchell Forrester. That's the guy's name. That's the guy that reached out to us to say, hey, we and I asked him questions like, how do you know my son's name?
Right.
Where'd you get my son's name?
Right.
Where did you see him at? And it was, he said Globals. Now, Brandon did go to Globals.
There you go.
Not this past year, but the year before. So it wasn't out of, you know, didn't, I was like, okay, so you got the name from Globals. And I do know when we were at Nationals, there was one guy that came up to Brandon after, I think, game two, and asked him a little bit about him. And he didn't ask him about any other kid but Brandon. But he also gave him, like, my wife's cell number. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, give her a call if, you know, if you want to talk to Brandon or whatever.
Right.
Now, he never did yet. Or maybe that's, no, that couldn't be where he got the information, because we had already committed with this Mitchell Forrester. And I even called the guy, even spoke to the guy. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody did give me a tip. I don't know if it was you or somebody that I was talking to that's like, you can actually put in the phone number. Some, a lot of these people that are these nefarious people.
Looking to make a buck.
Looking to make that buck. Use Google as a phone number. So they pay for that Google number will forward right to their personal cell number.
Gotcha.
But it won't be their actual cell number. And because there's a Google number out there, you can get that Google number for any state.
Got it.
So this dude could be not anywhere. Out of, so this America Sniper Academy was out of Minnesota.
Okay.
Even claimed he was out of Minnesota. Like, everything kind of lined up, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then it came to the constant text messaging that said, as a matter of fact, I might even still have it on my phone. Let me see if I can find it. But the constant text messaging that kept saying, hey, we're super excited. We really want, you know.
Now, is this to play on a tournament team?
Yeah.
Is this, okay. So this is a tournament team that was supposed
here in Vegas.
Okay. It was in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And that they really needed to get the we'll say the okay for the money or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. For the kid to jump on the team, and they, you know, they got to get the money ready so they can pay. And we even talked about, now we tried calling the tournament, right. And I don't remember what that tournament, I can't recall, but we couldn't get, like, no one's answering.
Right.
That's some of the struggle, I think, as well, as like, I tried calling the facility that he was based out of. No one really answered. It was summer. A lot of things are kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if they say, okay, can you pay PayPal? I think that's how we ended up paying. Mm. And you go, but I want friends and family, because then that way there's no fee that's associated, which for me, I'm like, he could pay the fee.
Right.
You know, it was like $4. It was nothing. It was $4.
I would feel more comfortable going right off of a website with a verified, you know, financial plan, financial institution or whatever you want to call it. Like,
yeah.
Where they can be tracked. PayPal does not seem like the way to go on that.
Yeah. Well, PayPal will allow you to collect your money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's secure as long as you don't do friends and family. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So the fee, that's the whole point. I think that's the whole point of the fee. Like, you're saying it's a business transaction. Mm-hmm. So if you've been frauded, if it's fraud, then you can claim the fraud and PayPal will send you back your money.
Okay.
But if you say, hey, it's a friend, like, I'm sending money to you.
Right.
You know, I trust you. I know you. That waives that fee. So, because there's no reason, like, friends and family should pay, like, fees like that.
No.
But if you say that, guess what you waive? You waive the fraud.
Ah, so no way to get your money back.
No way to get your money back at all. And which is a bummer, because I would love to have, here we go. Got it right here. So it starts off like this. Hi, Ron. I'm following up about Brandon joining us in Vegas. Let me know. This was April 30th.
Oh, wow.
May 3rd. Hi, Ron. I'm following up on Brandon joining us in Vegas. Let me know. Should be fun. So he added the should be fun. Sure. Almost like a, you know, thank you, Mitchell. Mm-hmm. May 3rd. So April 30th, May 3rd. May 9th. Hey, and now I'm kind of like my response, hello, we still, you know, yeah, we want Brandon to play. We didn't ask. Number one, this summer, we weren't looking to get on anybody's team. We weren't asked to be on anybody's team. Mm-hmm. So we were like, yeah, Brandon wants to play in that tournament. That's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And it actually was the Vegas Summer Showdown.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's the tournament. I said, sorry for the delay. This is May 9th. He goes, hey, Ron, sounds great. Look, we're looking forward to have Brandon play for us, and I'll confirm once payment has been received. Now it's May 10th. Hi, Ron. I'm just following up. Would love to add Brandon to the team.
Right.
Now it's May 13th. Now, obviously, I work, sure. You know, I'm a parent.
We have lives.
Yeah. Just following up. Does Brandon still want to play on the team with us at the tournament? Question mark. Thank you, Mitchell. And I'm like, oh, I thought we already paid you. Yada, yada, yada. He goes, sounds good. No problem at all. I was just checking in. We'll have him added to the roster and more details sent out shortly regarding the tournament. May 14th. I'm like, hey, please verify. Says, good morning. Payment was received. We will have the schedule and snap up a couple weeks prior to the tournament. Thank you. That was May 14th. June 29th.
Ooh.
So no response, you know. I'm like, perfect, great. And of course, you know, we're summertime, right? We're living our lives. Sure. And we're like, hey, hi, Mitchell. Any updates on the tournament and team info here in Vegas? This phone number is no longer in service.
Ghosted.
So I have the number. So I'm going to just tell you guys, if this number ever pops up on your thing at 1-305-765-3007, stay away. It's scam.
Scam. And they're out there. Any good organization, whether it be just a summertime one or, you know, obviously the youth organizations out there, they're not, you're going to, if they're reaching out to you, you know, it's going to be legit. Anything. Like, unfortunately, what happened to Ron and Brandon here, there's people out there just looking to make a buck. And like I said, with the Google phone number, you don't even know who this is. So you have to really be careful, especially in the summertime. Full disclosure, I'm just going to say I am not a fan of summer hockey.
Yeah.
One bit.
Yeah, yeah.
When I grew up playing hockey in Buffalo, you know, my whole youth career, when the season was over, we put the stuff away. We went and played baseball. We'd go out and play, you know, a little street hockey or whatever it is. Maybe jump on the ice once a week or so. You know, obviously times have changed a little bit. There is more full-time year-round hockey.
Opportunity.
Sure.
But I think USA Hockey themselves tell you to go do a different sport.
Go do a different sport. Yeah. Like go train. So obviously my son, Gavin, hockey player, he only wants to play hockey.
Yeah.
Every summer he gets mad at me because I don't let him play on the summer teams.
Smart man.
You know, there's not a lot of accountability. You're not playing for your real coach. And out here in Vegas, we do our tryouts at the end of the year. So you've already signed on for 15 AAA, right? So you're locked into that team. Any other team you play on, if something unfortunate is to happen, say, You kind of see some more injuries in summertime hockey because the accountability is not really there with, you know, you're not playing for your real coach. You're not, there's no real tryouts for these teams. So you might get somebody out there just looking to cause trouble. But even like I said, even without the injury, to me, summertime, get on the ice, go do clinics, go do the CCM camp in Denver. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to maybe 14 years old, get in the gym. Go play another sport. Yeah. Go lift some weights. I'm not saying stay off the ice forever. And each kid is different and each parent is different. I wouldn't tell you what to do. Just for coming from an old school hockey guy, there is some time for time off. You know what I mean? We go through a very long season. We play out here in Vegas, a lot of travel between 70 and 80 games a year.
Yeah, if not more.
If not more. So yeah. This is like AHL, NHL like style schedules.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of hockey for, you know, a 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kid. Like I said, don't stay off the ice, obviously. Go to stick and pucks, have fun. Go to clinics, do your privates. Go hit the real good camps out there, the global, the CCM, those kind of things. And I'm not saying don't go play on summer teams because if kids want to play, go play. be careful. Make sure you're on a team that's established and easily communicatable, and, you know, not whatever happened with Ron there could happen to anybody. Yeah, somebody's looking at my kid and wants him on a team. Great, right? So, you know, obviously he tried to verify. There are scammers out there. They're looking to make a buck, and, you know, it's easy enough to find players, like you said, off the global list. I'm sure it was just, like, on their site, on their website. Maybe even saw him. You know, this could have been a guy who's like, yeah, I'm going to put together a team. This kid's Your kid's a good player. He's fast. Like, he stands out there. So he said, you know what? I'm going to have this kid on my team, but I'm not getting all these teams together, but I've got 7 or 8 people who paid already. Nobody knows who I am. I'm out with whatever cash. And, you know, that's going to happen in life, not just hockey, obviously. You got to, you know, be careful whatever you're doing out there. But, you know, the summertime hockey thing is a different beast. And like I said, with my opinion and the way tryouts go out here, we're locked on, especially this year, going up to the AAA level.
Yeah.
I don't want my kid to play on anything but the team that he's on. You know what I mean? Like I said, camps, clinics, off ice, go lift weights, get big, go play some street hockey, go in your garage, work on your shot, 200 shots a day, easy, 20 minutes of your time. So my personal opinion, your mileage may vary on that one.
Some people
like to play all year round. I get it. But like I said, when you're locked in on a team like we do early out here in Vegas, I prefer that, just for my experience and for my son, that's your team. Like, this is who you're playing for. I don't care if you want to play on, you know, whatever team it may be.
Sure.
But this, you're locked in, so get your ass to the gym.
Well, let's be honest. Who has time, right? Like, you've already gone through this, like, you know, just
grind.
This grind of games and games and games. And then if you have a team manager that has no problem going and adding more games,
right?
It's like, okay. Can't we just be done? Now, I agree with everything you're saying. Absolutely 100% with everything you're saying. I think it's important to get the kids in a different sport.
Right.
Preferably something that doesn't, like, have, you know, like, breaks ankles. Preferably. Like, I don't want them in the outfield, you know, catching, shagging balls for softball or something.
Right.
like I played hockey out here for many, many years, like house league stuff, right? But when I went and played softball, that was the most hurt I ever was.
Because the fields are all beat up.
Oh, my God. It's the worst. Holes,
there's rocks in the infield. Yeah, yeah.
But the big takeaway that you brought up, and I think it's really important that people know, when your kids at 13, 14, 15, as they're getting older, I think the gym is a huge advantage.
If you're not out there getting big, somebody's getting bigger. And there's a lot of contact out there. If you can't protect yourself and, you know, handle the hitting, you're going to fall behind real quick. So, you know, get to the gym, kids. Let's go.
Yeah. And, you know, because a lot of these kids, because they're growing upwards, they're thinning out.
Skinny.
So they need to eat well. They need to maybe even, you know, work with a nutritionist, to be honest with you. That would be a great thing. We've not done that with Brandon, but we've done, you know, we've listened to some podcasts. We follow some people out there on, you know, what to eat, kind of what to get away from. Like, we're working on just trying to get him a little bit off of the dairy side of it because of skin and stuff.
Gotcha.
But realistically, though, you know, protein and getting him to the gym would be more important.
That's all I hear about in my house is protein. I need protein. It's bulking season. Like, protein.
Yeah. And I don't know if my kids are there yet. Like, Brandon, I know, will go to the gym, and I know that they have gym in season.
Right. A couple days a week with the junior nights. I know Gorman goes 4 days a week
to
the
gym, which is
great.
Gorman has that amazing
facility.
Because their football team, Gorman's football team, is ranked 2 in the nation.
Right.
That they've got ice baths and full gym access for their hockey players, which is awesome.
Sure is.
And I know for Vegas's program, they have that opportunity up in that CNA arena to work out there. And it's a great opportunity for the kids. But 2 days a week, probably not enough, honestly.
During season, sure. But
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know. And the question is are you working on more of, and these will be great questions. I sound like I don't know what I'm sounding like right now, but these would be great questions to ask, like current coach. Say, hey, I know, like, Brandon has EOS, right? He can go to the gym if he wants, and he kind of goes once in a while. Most of his gym is out of Vegas Junior Golden Knights organization. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how much more do you want them to go to the gym? Is it more important to do specific, you know, is it weight training? Is it upper body? Is it lower body? Like, those are the things that, like, yeah, you could do a lot of that in off season. That's fine. But I would assume you'd still want to do some of that stuff. And obviously they do 2 days a week.
Yeah, we get that 2 days a week in. And then, you know, like, for instance, this weekend is an off weekend for the kids. I'm really big on, and I've talked to other people about this, there's three exercises for hockey players that you don't need to go to the gym to do. One of them is push-ups. Push-ups is going to get your upper body strong.
Yeah.
Secondly, is squats. Squats are huge. You got to have a strong leg, strong butt to be a good skater, to, you know, keep your cardio up and all that.
Yeah.
And third one, leg lifts, which, you know, used to be sit-ups, right? Now they say sit-ups ruin your back. So now you're just, you know, laying on the ground doing the leg lifts. Those three specific things for hockey players. And then, you know, like I said, it's, we're in the gym twice a week. Not us, obviously. The kids are in the gym twice a week with the, you know, with the junior nights. But, like, you know, even today, I'll just use my son Gavin as an example. Got home from school, went out to the garage, did a couple hundred shots real quick, went and jumped on the treadmill, and he does, like, it's sort of hockey specific. He's not just running for a mile, mile and a half. He's going to run for 90 seconds, and then he's going to get off, and he's going to rest for 90 seconds. Then he's going to get back on and run for 90 seconds.
Is it a run or a sprint? Because I'm hearing...
He's sprinting, which I don't know if it's like...
I'm hearing that is what that is the newest thing. Like, not newest thing, but the expectation... From my wife's been really listening to a lot of those quick, short sprints.
Bursts, right.
Bursts are huge.
Street light drill. And this is, I got to give credit to Wally Lacroix on this one. This is one he told me a couple years ago. The street lights in front of your house, right?
Okay.
Almost everybody's got street lights in front of their house. Sprint from street light to street light, walk back. Sprint from street light to street light, walk back. Because on the ice, 30, 45 seconds a minute. That's as long as you're going to be out there. Then you're going to be sitting on the bench for, say, a minute, minute and a half, two minutes until your next shift. Kind of just gets your body trained into bursts.
Yeah.
You got to have energy for these bursts. You got your recovery time on the bench, whether that's, like I said, could be 30 seconds, could be 5 minutes, but you have your rest and recovery time there. So it kind of mimics what you're doing on the ice there during games. So, like I said, like I said, there's nothing wrong with going on a 30, 45 minute jog too. Great for your cardio. But if you're looking, like, this is in season stuff, strength specific for hockey.
I like the bursts in season.
I do too. But you also, you can't go overboard too, because we play a lot of games. We practice 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Rest and recovery is huge.
Yeah.
Sleeping. Like, it's, you know, all the kids want to stay up till midnight and play video games. Are you strong enough mentally to go to bed at 9:30, because you got to get up at 6 to go to school? Like,
that's, well, for us, so, you know, we live out in Henderson, or mm-hmm. or out this way, you know, the farthest away from CNA Arena,
right?
You know, like, I'll give you an example. Like, last night, you know, we finished at what, 9:10? Yeah. We didn't get home till almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I was even later.
and even from that, now I have to get my kid wind down. Now there's some tricks to that. You can pop a melatonin, mm-hmm. say, hey, take this while we're going home. That did help, but I noticed with Brandon, cause he doesn't take that often. Mm-hmm. He was pretty sluggish getting up in the morning. Cause sure.
didn't get enough sleep. There's no way.
Turn around. Let's say that he was in bed by 10:30 or 11. Mm-hmm. He's getting up at 6 to go to school, to be at school by 7.
Right.
Cause you know, dad's got to drive him there. Mm-hmm. Mom doesn't believe in the bus, even though he can get on the bus.
We don't even have the bus option with the school Gavin goes to.
So yeah. So you gotta, he's gotta be driven, right? He's
gotta be driven, which we're leaving the house by 5 to 7. So like you said, you got home at 10, we got home about 10:30. Kids hungry.
They're always hungry.
Of course they're hungry. They just worked their bags off out there for an hour, and this is third practice of the week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by the end of that practice, of course they're hungry, and they're 15-year-old growing boys.
Yeah.
Even non-hockey people who might be listening, you know, the kids are going to eat. So you're talking mine showers at the rink, so don't have to worry about that part of it. Food, wind down, plug in your Chromebook for the morning, make sure your laundry switched over. Now you're looking at, I'd have to say Gav probably went down about 10:45 last night, getting up at 6, less than 7 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Now at that age, I mean, what, 8, 9 is what you're supposed to be pulling, something like that?
Yeah.
Impossible because of, you know, the ice times that we get at this age, and it's probably the same all around the country. The kids are a little bit older, so you know, you're going to get the mites and whatnot starting at 4, and then 5, 6, 7, by the time it gets to the 15, 16-year-olds, you're looking at 8 o'clock starts.
Yeah, and we're twofold.
We had some 9-10s last year, 9-10s and 9-40s that we had throughout the year. Now you're talking your kids going to bed at midnight, getting up at 6 in the morning, a chore for a young athlete to make sure his schoolwork's getting done
and,
you know, getting his studying and getting done correctly. What my son does, and I know a few others, if you got a time for a nap before dinner, do your homework, take an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're breaking up your sleep, which is not like the best way to go about it, but you kind of got to get it in while you can.
Yeah.
You know, no, get those grades up.
You make a very good point because I noticed Brandon definitely sleeps for at least an hour when he gets home.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every day.
Every day. Yep.
And then throw in that they're growing. Mm-hmm. And I remember me, you know, I didn't grow, but I was definitely sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, man, school, I had to get up so early, you know, and I'd sleep. But I manipulated school for me, so I was done like around 1.
Okay.
So I'd sleep a couple hours. Then when everyone really got off for school, I was like wide awake, ready to go.
Yep.
So, yeah, those are the struggles that you parents out there are going to have because we're having them too. At the end of the day, though, if your kid is at the gym or doing the around-the-house workouts, it's definitely going to be beneficial throughout the season. Don't want to overdo it. Definitely want to get the kids on some good nutritional stuff. We definitely need to get a nutritionist, I think, on the podcast just to talk about
food and stuff. Oh, for sure. 100%. And stretch. Don't forget to stretch every single day. That goes for you adults too.
Yeah.
I know it makes my life a lot better when I get a good stretch every day. So
yeah. And you know, yoga is a really good opportunity to get that stretch on.
100%.
And I know Brandon tends to go outside in the garage with mom and do the little yoga sessions with
her. That's
great. Absolutely. Not as consistent as we'd like it to be, but you know what? Any little bit will help.
Every little bit helps. There's nothing wrong with taking a day off here and there. Like you said, it's the rest and recovery is a big part of it. And, you know, we just talked about how we're not really getting the rest. So
Let's
make sure you get the recovery, like I said, a nice stretch. Just have a day of yoga or stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Have a day of chilling out and watch TV.
Mm.
Go hang out with your buddies. Go to the San Gennaro Feast. Go to Wet and Wild, whatever it may be, because it can't be hockey 1,000% of the time. You're going to go nuts.
Yeah.
The parents are going to go nuts, first of all. I know you're going to, and I'm going to.
Yeah.
But nice for the kids to do some other things outside of the rink, you know?
No, you're right. I mean, you know, some kids are just driven that way to practice and go to stick and puck and, you know, do their one-on-ones. And, you know, some coaches are not a big fan of one-on-ones with other coaches, you know. Some coaches are, right? It just really depends on what kind of drive your kid has.
Sure.
Because I can tell you as a parent, I'm not driving my kid, meaning I'm not sitting there going, did you shoot your 100 pucks?
Right.
At the end of the day, I really, honestly, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. I don't care.
No, it's not your life. It's his.
It's not. Right. It is totally not my life. If he, now he'll ask me questions after, like, how do I play? I'm like, well, you want my opinion? I didn't think you did much out there, to be honest with you. Or you look good or great pass or whatever. He always gets a little offended when you give him the, you know, when I give him the dad response. But realistically, I don't know about your kid, but I don't think my kid really takes my whatever the response
advice,
whatever the response I give him, I think he chalks it up. Well, that's my dad.
Right.
Kind of thing. I think it means more, and it comes if another parent says something.
Sure.
Like my kid's the greatest kid outside of my house, and then inside the house, he's, you know, he's like a typical 15-year-old.
Sure.
Right? Gives you a little attitude.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I try to keep it like minimal. Like,
just, like, we don't talk hockey at home at all. That's, you know,
good. So, like, you know, after practice, whatever, you see something up in the stands.
Yeah.
What I would mostly say advice-wise for parents is point out a good thing first. Before you, maybe you saw something that wasn't quite that good out there.
Yeah.
Point out a good thing. Hey, nice practice today. You guys killed, great penalty, or nice pass over to Brandon on that one. Blah, sure. Blah, blah. One thing I think you could do better, just move your feet a little more in the defensive zone. Simple. Not, oh, did coach tell you to do this? Did coach tell you to do that?
Yeah.
No. More effort-wise than anything. Now, if your kid's out there putting 100% effort in every single practice, and you probably got nothing to say to him, right? Because otherwise you're looking at it's either a skill issue, as the kids say, a skill issue.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a coaching, what the coach wants them to do, you don't necessarily know, like, with their systems and what's going on out there. I would say more keep it towards like the effort thing. Are you not feeling good today, bud? You didn't seem to skate that hard today. Is everything all right? Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, that kind of stuff. You know, that's to me, like, and you know, you don't want to berate your kid ever.
Well,
coming home.
You were on the bench, Jim, right?
I was, yep.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. If you see a kid that's not as engaged in practice, mm-hmm. let's say it's a dump in the corner, mm-hmm. and you're a defensive player, and you're supposed to rush up the ice and get into the offensive zone, mm-hmm. right? But they're not really doing that. They're not really playing game-like speed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you're calling out there on the ice, or is that a conversation you're having after practice?
I'm going to say that's a little bit of both. So if I see it happening during practice as a coach, yeah, I'm going to call you out on the ice. Not in front of, you know, I'm not going to berate you in front of your teammates or anything else.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, hey, get your butt in gear and get up there. You know, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So 99% of the time, boom, that solves the problem right there. Now, if it doesn't solve the problem, and, you know, this seems like an effort thing, honestly, because you're just not working hard enough to get off the ice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, afterwards, I'm going to head to the locker room and call him out because, you know, you don't want to be in the locker room with the whole team.
Yeah.
Let's just say I'll just use Gavin because Gavin's my son. What's the matter, dude? Is everything okay? You're not feeling good? Like, you're tired? Like, what's going on here? What was going on with practice? Because a lot of times things that are going on off the ice are going to affect things that
they could. Absolutely.
Affect what's going on the ice. And maybe the kid's just lazy that day. All right, come back hard next time. I'm really tired. I didn't get enough sleep. Like,
sure.
You know, I had a big test and I was up all night, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay, then, you know, come back tomorrow. Make sure you get some rest today. Come back tomorrow. Run the drill the way it's supposed to be because, you know, if everybody's not rowing in the same direction, whether it be drills, games, and whatever, you're going to mess it up for everybody else. So, yeah, I'm going to say something on the ice. I know you saw a little bit of the coaching style that I was involved with last year, and it was very vocal.
Yeah.
Very vocal, not afraid to call kids out on the ice in front of their teammates. Everybody handled it quite well because, you know, after that minute or two of, you know, not even after that 10 seconds where I'm yelling at you to get your butt in gear, we're going to the side, and, you know, when it's not your turn in the drill, you good? What's going on? Like, got any questions?
Yeah.
This is what you're supposed to be doing. Get the board out, show them what's going on. Because you never want to just leave them at, I just screamed at you and I'm not talking to you for the rest of practice.
Sure.
Because now, why would you want to work for me when I just yelled at you in front of all your buddies and didn't tell you why and didn't explain to you why? I just got mad because you weren't doing the drill right when you should have.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't want to listen to me probably ever again because I didn't explain to you what happened and why I was calling you out and telling you, you know, in front of your buddies what you're doing wrong. So, you know, you'll see the best coaches. We saw it last night at practice. Shout out to Harrison and Ian and Coach Nate out there.
Yeah.
A lot of time on the board last night. Like, they were working penalty kills and power plays. When they weren't on the ice, all three coaches had the boards out and had all the boys involved in showing them exactly what was going on. And even after practice, you saw kind of some of the players broke off into little groups with the coaches. Mm-hmm. Some of the penalty killers were over with Coach Ian. Power play guys were over with Coach Harrison. Coach Nate was involved with pretty much everything. So even right after practice was over, there was still, you know, advice given. That's, to me, that's fantastic. That's coaching.
Yeah.
Not, oh, it's now 9:10. Practice is over. Deuces, guys. I'm running out of here.
We're out of here.
It's late for me, too, when I got to go to work in the morning. But no, like, they stood around and, you know, they stayed around to answer questions and to give advice and to show on the board where all these kids were going. To me, like, that's huge. That's huge. Because, yeah, they were yelling at the kids during, you know, during practice.
Sure.
When they messed up. But there they were with the board showing them exactly what they were talking about. Mm. So huge on that. Great job by the coaches last night in practice. Hopefully it comes over to the games too.
Yeah, because I think realistically when it comes to the practices, I just think that, you know, well, I think when it comes to Las Vegas, I'll just talk about Las Vegas real quick. When it comes to Las Vegas, I think obviously we're behind. Like, you know, you played hockey in Buffalo, sure, right? As a kid.
Yep.
Okay.
20 organizations within an hour.
Okay. So yeah. Like what, you know, like some of the things that I take away as a parent, just watching hockey, I know a little bit of hockey, like enough to get me in trouble. Right. Go on into.
Sure.
You know, I do a podcast.
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that.
Get out there and.
But like the fun, the basics, mm-hmm. How about win a faceoff?
Sure.
You know, not that I'm seeing our coaches, let's focus on faceoffs, but man, some of these games I watch, and it's not just our team, I watch and go, why can't we win faceoffs? Mm-hmm. We've never, and this goes back to Pee Wee and 14. Like, we've never really focused on faceoff wins.
Mm-hmm.
I see some of it as far as a play, like as a faceoff win or draw for power play.
Sure.
Because they want to win it to that corner.
Setting
that,
up a play.
Correct.
Yeah.
But in general, like faceoffs, position, like general basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we are, as a hockey community, behind the times.
Okay.
I don't know if they really work on those at 8U or not, or 10U, like specifically say, this is how you win a draw, mm-hmm. or this is how you tie up a kid. Or like, I know maybe from a coach's perspective, maybe it's not that big of a deal, but it always seems to be a big deal when you're down by one and you're having in the offensive zone. You got to win.
I think it's a big deal.
I do too.
Yeah.
But that's something that I notice as a just being a dad and somebody who's played hockey going, well, it's definitely something that all the organizations can actually work on maybe when they're younger. Now, my kid did not play AU hockey.
Okay.
My kid did not play 10U hockey. Oh, well, he played one season of house at 10U, and then he jumped right into 12U.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you follow or do any type of the coaching reviews out of USA Hockey, because as a dad, you can participate as being a coach for a house league team, which mm-hmm. I did for a couple of seasons with Nate. The golden years of hockey is the 12U range.
Sure.
That's where they absorb the most. They understand. That's where you really try to focus the basic fundamentals of hockey.
Right.
Where to be, where to go.
Positioning,
like mm-hmm. those kind of things. And I feel like that's some of the things that we missed or was not captured. And it could be, now I was not with the Vegas Junior Golden Knights at the time, so I was with the Storm organization.
Right.
It could be the fact that the Storm organization never really keyed in on that at that moment because it was new for them too. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Maybe they assume that the kids from learn to play, learn to skate, learn to play,
right?
And then Little Knights program. Maybe that's where they assume that that's where that's all being driven from. But I, when you're on a, like that, that's not a team base. That's just, you know, I mean, I remember talking to Brandon about like how, here, this is how you win, you know, a draw.
Right.
And there are kids that are really good at it, and then there's kids that are just like they never win a draw.
Right.
And I've never seen them specifically say, hey, and I don't know, maybe it's the data. You know, maybe, you know, we don't pull the data and say, hey, coach, guess what? We were 20%.
Right.
And just to kind of let them know, I mean, I'm sure they see it,
mm-hmm.
but really are they going back going, hey, you know, we were 20% this weekend. We probably want to make sure that if we're going to have our centers doing these draws wherever they're at, that they actually win a few of them.
Sure.
Right?
Now you're looking at, so 8U, 10U, that's more, I would say, skating, shooting, you know, basic hockey, hockey knowledge, and that's your base to, you know, your skating and your positioning and things like that. And I would think around 12U, yeah, you're looking at setting up face-off plays. So, you know, most of your coaches will have, you're not going to spend a ton of time in practice setting up face-off plays, but, you know, just from coaching experience, 12U second year, we kind of started putting in face-off plays, and honestly, like the kids can do their own, especially now we're up at, you know, this 15 level. Center should always be telling his wingers and his defensemen where he wants them and what he expects from them before the faceoff even happens. It comes natural, I guess, if you play with the same line for a while. You did see at least one or two goals last time our team played that were directly off of a faceoff where centerman says, go here. And one specific one that my son happened to score right off a faceoff, Alec Brimlovich, the center, go here. Literally won the draw directly to him, quick shot, goal, just like that.
Yeah, that was a good play.
It was a nice play, but it never would have happened without the communication, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the winning of the faceoff, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to spend 10 hours at practice every year working on faceoff. So advice to any of the kids out there that are centers, get out to the garage. Take your dad, take your mom, take your buddy next door, take your sister, take your dog, take somebody. All you need is somebody to drop a puck. And practice on,
and
you
work
know,
on the
don't
draw.
Work on it. You watch the ref's hand where it's going to go. There's different ways. You know, you swing your leg through on your forehand to use your body to block this guy off. This is something, you know, especially if it's early on in the season and coaches don't know exactly who their centers are going to be yet. They see that, you know, little Johnny is winning every single faceoff. Yeah, he's going to be my centerman. And now we're in a clutch situation. There's 22 seconds left in the game. We're up by a goal in a defensive zone faceoff. Guess who's going to be out there taking that faceoff?
Sure.
Little Johnny, because he doesn't lose faceoffs. So, you know, like I said, I don't think they're going to spend a ton of ice time working on those plays at, you know, 15, 16 years old. That's stuff that they're going to be showing you on the board, you know, and your hockey knowledge as a player at that age should be enough to get you in the right position where coach wants you to and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I would say, like you said, if you see, you would know if you're a center. Man, I can't win a freaking face-off at all. So get your butt in the garage and work on it.
Yeah.
It's not something, and you know, there's videos on YouTube everywhere that's going to show you face-off techniques, this, that, and the other thing. I think it's almost kind of on the individual player as you get past, say, the 14 and up. If you're not working on your face-offs on your own, we don't have time for that in practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just a coach's opinion.
And I'm not specifically talking about like our team or whatever. I'm just saying in generalities, that's some of the things that I see as Vegas hockey gets into, you know, whatever youth hockey gets into the next, we'll say it really started kicking up in 2017, 2018, when Vegas Golden Knights came into town, right?
Yep.
I just feel like that's, you know, as you said, and you made a very good point. A lot of these kids from Colorado, California, Buffalo, probably, most of these kids probably played together for a long time.
Long time.
And they got to know their habits or where they want to be. Or, you know, we've played against teams even recently that really move very well.
Yep. Breakouts were
correct.
Phenomenal. Their forecheck was on point. Defensive zone coverage, and things like that.
Yeah, right? And you talk to the parents and they're like, oh, yeah, we've been playing together for the last five seasons. And you're like, okay, that's the difference between an established 40-year youth program.
Right.
We're talking for the state.
Right.
Versus, hey, it's been there for seven.
7 years. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Those are the things, you know. And then you also have to have that kid that has those intangibles, the things you can't teach.
Right.
That just naturally can do it. Twitch ability or whatever you want to call those words.
Whether it's hockey IQ or just like a random talent, like I'm just happen to be great at faceoffs for whatever reason, like it is what it is. Right?
I mean, you're gonna play a kid to their advantage. You should, if you're a head coach, and you should be. As the kids get older, you should be doing that. That's the whole point of even travel hockey. Listen, at the end of the day, there's for us and for most of these kids, there's four forward lines.
Right,
your kid could fall anywhere from line one to line four.
Right.
And regardless of what line it is, and I even told this to Brandon, I go, you know, whatever line you're on, if you're not on the first line, that's okay.
Right.
You know, if you're on second, third, fourth line, I go, you're going to be playing against those second, third, and fourth line players. You absolutely should be taking advantage of that.
And, you know, I at this level, at AAA, I don't really even believe in 1, 2, 3, 4. I believe more of, if you just go to our team, a talent's pretty pretty even, I'd say. There's not, you know, this guy is our superstar, he scores every game, and this guy shouldn't even be on the ice. It's more of, now you're slotting kids into, like, say, a scoring line, that Brandon, or, say, let's say Brandon's on a highly skilled line right now, right? They're fast, you know, they move the puck really well in situations, certain game situations are going to be there. Well, then we put together a different line.
Yeah.
That's okay. So this line's hard to play against. They're tough defensively. They check,
yeah.
You know, they forecheck their bags off every shift. They make it hard to play against. Different situations in different games, you know, your superstar scoring line might not see the ice in the last period if you're up two goals because you've got two lines that are more yeah. responsible defensively, you know, and if you get a power play, obviously that's going to change everything around. But, and you know, when you get up to the 15, 16, 17, 18 year old level, even as a say as a parent and as a player, you kind of have to realize what your role is. Yeah. So even if you're not a superstar who scores 10 goals a game, if you make yourself the best penalty killer in town, there's going to be a spot for you on every
correct.
Team. If you're willing to throw your body out there and stick up for your teammates and, you know, you work your butt off and you forecheck and you block shots, there's a spot for you on every single team out there. You know what I mean? So like I said, different roles at this level.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to figure out as a player, you know, where do I fit in? You know, I'm not saying you can't develop into, you know, a guy who's on, say, the best defensive forward line doesn't mean he can't score, because they do. And the guy who's on the top scoring line, you better be playing some defense in the defensive zone, too.
That's but true.
There is roles and specific spots for everybody, so you kind of got to, you know, find your niche.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point here, Jim, especially talking about when the coach's not going like, hey, okay, I want the best line. I think what you're really looking for is you're looking for, I want the best guys that play well off of each other.
Chemistry.
Right? The best chemistry. And I will tell you this, over the last couple of weeks, the best chemistry lines that I've been seeing lately, and we're just using our team as example, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of teams out there, is like seeing your son and Brnelovich and
Grimes.
Favor, Grimes. Mm-hmm. Like those kids are, chemistry-wise, man, they look great.
But they also have the advantage of they all played together last year.
That's the point, though, right? Though, right? That's right. What we're talking about. Kids that have stuck together, that have known each other,
right.
That are playing well. Like, those lines are clicking. Now, you have the other kids. You have the Billet kids, the kids mm-hmm. out of town. They've got to get to know each other. They got to come into their own. And I think that's where coach is kind of manipulating. You're right. Parents do tend to focus on, well, they started the first face-off, that must be line one.
No.
I don't know if there truly is a line one.
I don't think so. Like I said, when you get to a certain level, like, you know, a certain age, I should say, you know, you're going to have, you might, your two best players might not be on line one because they both might be centers. So now your line one center, your line two center, you know, are your two best players, but they don't play together.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a coach, you know, it's about finding that chemistry. And like you said, early on in the season, you know, you could see, I think the only line that we have that played together last year was Gavin, Thomas, and Brnelovich. So, yeah, there is a little bit of chemistry, and they killed penalties together last year, and they yeah. know each other. They're buddies, you know, and like I said, these Billet kids, obviously, from out of town are just getting to know all the boys, and you can see it coming together, the chemistry.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, these organizations that we talk about been around forever, like mm-hmm. a lot of them, like even in when I got done playing, my youth hockey organization, Wefield Blades, shout out to the Wefield Blades out there.
Okay. Yeah,
big organization in Buffalo there. When I was done actually playing, myself and two of my former teammates took over and started coaching a Mike Minor team. And the whole plan is you move up with them. Mike Minor, Mike Major, Squirt Minor, Squirt Major. So yeah. now you have your core of kids that are going to be together for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a baby organization like the Knights, like there's, you know, if we're going to go out there and play against kids who have been playing together for 10 years, you're going to see the difference. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And, you know, the younger kids coming up, the 8, 9, 10, 11 U's, like they will be together for a while. And you're going to see, you know, as time goes on, the chemistry that we talk about between those players.
Yeah. So for Vegas Ringside Rundown, basically all we're really telling you after all that lengthy conversation, because we're not really focusing, we're kind of using our team as some example, but the reality of it is this, you know, don't put much as a parent, right? Don't put much thought into, oh, my kid's starting the game, so it must be line one. Mm-hmm. Or because I look at it going, oh, you know, I don't care if my kid starts the game. I care. I prefer probably not starting the game. Like, I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe the coach wants to run it later in the lines. Mm-hmm. Great. Perfect. And then the other thing you got to remember as parents out there, it's like, don't be hung up on wins and losses. Those are really not important, to be honest with you. Wins are great, mm-hmm. right? For morale, for the kids. But at the end of the day, though, if you're not playing against the best teams and you're getting all the wins, can the team get better? So, just food for thought. And I'm not having you come back with your information because we're on an hour and 14 because this has been really exciting.
Oh, we're just.
But I do want to tell. I do want you to mention one thing. You did mention Nate. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of 18U for Vegas Junior Golden Knights. They do not have a 18U team. Is that correct?
That is correct. They did have one last year, and I believe the year before. Unfortunately, the 18U AAA AA level is kind of hard to field a team. And as a young organization, they were having a little bit of trouble. There's been a thing in Vegas where after, let's say, 16 AAA, most of the best players have gone out of town.
Yeah.
They've gone to prep school, gone out to Detroit, Buffalo, Minnesota, wherever it may be.
Yeah.
Because there has not been that 18 AAA or AA level. It's really hard. Nate did a good job with recruiting to get as many people as he could out here. The weird thing is about that level is, junior teams are still doing their tryouts or have just got done doing their tryouts.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are on split season where, the kids play juniors and high school, as seniors, whatever. I see teams out there even today. We spoke about it before the podcast. I saw Bell Tire 18U AAA. Bell Tire is a top tier organization.
Yeah.
They're still down 4 players and they're looking for players.
Wow.
I said Nate was unfortunately not able to secure enough players to continue on for this season. It leaves a big gap, unfortunately. But like I said, as soon as they decided not to field the team this year,
yeah.
he started getting calls from all different coaches all over the country. Oh, I need players. I need players. I need players.
Sure.
Now, if you look at, my hockey rankings is where, the go-to site, it has its ups and downs and positives and negatives about it. But if you look at the rankings from just last year at the 18U level, it's all prep schools. So, it's kind of hard to compete with prep schools for the top players, especially as a young organization. Like I said, and now when they first brought that team to life a couple years ago,
yeah.
as a coach, I was like, wow, that's we never had 18 AAA growing up. Like, this is something new. Like, how are they going to do that? Do we have the talent in town to play on that?
Yeah.
And then looking at, the teams, like I said, at the top of the rankings, they're like, these are legendary organizations and prep schools that have been around forever and can field an 18 AAA team because they have Sidney Crosby at Shattuck, so he's playing 18 AAA
yeah.
and that kind of thing. So, yeah. It does leave a little gap. We have the Henderson Force junior team now, but even that's kind of like 18-19. So, that senior year of high school after 16 AAA, you can play for the high school teams, obviously.
Sure.
If you're just looking at AAA, you kind of have to leave town at this point. So, that is a little gap that we have here in Vegas. Hopefully, it changes in the future. One of these younger teams that comes up through the rankings turns out to be a powerhouse and wants to stick together for a 17 and an 18-year-old season, maybe bring that back, maybe try again next year. I'm not really sure what the plan okay. is, but, that was it's a shame that we couldn't have that team this year, but all the players did find some place to play. Some went to Gorman, some went to Face, some went out of town, some were billet kids that went back to where they came from, whatever. But that's like a huge challenge for, the Junior Knights or the Storm or whoever it may be to try and to fill that gap. So, feel bad for Nate, but he's now helping out with our 15 AAA team.
Yeah.
Real good coach. You could see it out there just from having him in this week, helping out Harry and Ian, who are also very good coaches. So, that's something that we'll see if they bring back in the future. Just too bad we can't have it in the now.
Okay. Well, you heard it from Jim. about the 18U team. But realistically, again, I just want to stress this again to us. Reach us out. Email us, info@vegasringside.com. That's info@vegasringside.com. If you send us an email and you have a question, we'll definitely, like I said, we'll either find the person or somebody that has knowledge over it so we can bring it up to air on air and bring it into the podcast, or B, if it's something we can answer, we'll be happy to do it. There's a lot of things going on moving forward, not just travel, because we've got to focus about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We have the house leagues that are just starting up again at multiple locations. So LVIC, Henderson, America First Center, CNA, all those places, Hilo as well, has their house leagues that they've just started, I think, a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of changes in that, too, that we'll definitely get into next podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about the house league and the changes that have been implemented by the Junior Knights organization. Not sure what's going on with Storm. Hopefully reach out to someone over there and see how their house league's going, too. So that is definitely something we're going to bring up on the next podcast. We'd love you to listen into it, and we'll get into it next time.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, and I'll bring this up now. I did run across, met a guy the other day who is the announcer, I think on-ice announcer for Silver Knights, so we're going to try to reach out to him and get him on the cast. I know we've been talking about people.
Right, big things coming.
They're coming, I promise you this. We definitely wanted to get on board with a few podcasts with just me and Jim, just try to get that going, which I believe the chemistry is pretty good there.
Our chemistry is good. Like, we've been playing together since we were mites.
Yeah. Okay. And I still don't know how to do a face off, just saying.
I can teach you. We'll get to the garage. I'll show you how to get it done.
I appreciate it. So, you've been listening to Vegas Ringside Rundown. Once again, check us out on Facebook at Vegas Ringside Rundown. Also, we're on Instagram at Vegas Ringside Rundown. There is one little thing we're going to be doing. Like I said, we're adding that. We're going to see if we can get somebody from UNLV to come on and, like, a ghostwriter. Mm-hmm. Add our information and just write some pieces for us for Vegas Ringside, which you can check us out at www.vegasringside.com. But also, it was Lee. Man, I have his name here. Hold on a second. So there's a guy that had a website. He hasn't been completely. He's older. He's an older guy, yeah, right?
And it's the content on the website has. Basically stopped or fallen off a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to try and pick up the mantle for him.
Correct. So Lee Samuels.
Lee Samuels. I knew that. Sorry, Lee.
He has vegashockey.net, but that it hasn't been updated in a while. So we're gonna be generating a page under Vegas Ringside Rundown. And our goal is to hashtag VegasLee7 as a hashtag. So if you hashtag it on X, say you take a picture of... you're at the rink, right? And you're on X and you're taking a picture at the rink. Like, your kid's out there on the ice. If it's house league or if it's at UNLV or wherever, Henderson Forest.
Wherever you are watching hockey.
If you hashtag VegasLee7, that will bring that information right over to our website at VegasRingside.com.
Fantastic.
So just a little tribute
To Lee
out there, and we appreciate all the time that he has done to help promote the kids. We definitely want to extend.
We hope we can live up to what
Lee's standards,
to what he started, because that site, if you look at it, very well done. So
yeah, it's a site, kind of a blog, right? Mm-hmm. So people came on, just talked about the kids, the local kids, where they're going, you know, and that's something that we want to talk about too. So. Right now, you've been listening to Vegas Ringside Rundown. My name is Ron.
And I'm Jim.
And we're out.